First Chronicles 29, please. And we'll read the text tonight, and then we'll have, of course, a time of prayer, and then get into the message this evening. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, 1 Chronicles 29, and verses 10 through 17. And we're just going to, in some way, shape, or form, have kind of gone through many of the things that we want to attribute to God that He is or He's a part of, like love, you know, truth, patience, glory, you know, judgment. We've talked about many of these different things over the past several weeks about God. And I want to continue to know God better, continue to explore who and what God is to us. And listen, folks, I know many of us have been in church for a very long time, but I think sometimes we forget the simplicity, but also the complexity of who and what God is. I mean, yeah, God is God, right? God is love. God is truth. God is this. God is that. But God is an extremely complex yet knowable being. We can know God. And we can know of God. And guess what? We need to do that more and more as we grow in life as a Christian. And so we want to continue to do that. And I have some, my head just kind of wants to talk about all of it, but I can't because we don't have the time for that. So here we are in 1 Chronicles 29. You read along silently. I'll read out loud verses 10 through 17. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Over in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, if you'd like to turn there, you certainly can. But Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, getting toward the end of the scriptures, the Bible says this. And it's talking about the marriage of the Lamb and these things that were happening. But in verse 6, it says this, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. God's omnipotence is something special. And it's not just a fancy word that we throw out there. Omnipotence is what it looks like. Okay? But it's omnipotence. God's omnipotence and God Himself being omnipotent is something for us to learn about. Something for us to recognize. Something for us to understand. And in the scriptures, this is the only place that word is mentioned. It says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's an omnipotent God. Say, what does that mean? Well, simply, it means the Almighty. It means possessing unlimited power. It means all powerful. Again, I think I'm going to develop a message that's just entitled all. Because I told you before, it's one of my favorite little words. Right? It's the biggest little word I know. All power. All. And David here, he's praying and he's talking to God in 1 Chronicles. And he says these very things. He says, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. That's God. That's our God. And David even says later on, we read it here, as we looked at this at the beginning, he says, you're our God. Not just the God or a God. You're our God. Folks, we have the privilege of being the children of the Almighty. Of being the children of the omnipotent God. You understand that no other God has all power. Now, just let's try to wrap our little minds around this idea. Okay, if I have all the pizza, how much do you have? None. Quick math lesson, right? Yeah, this is great. That's my favorite part of the math lesson, where I get all the pizza. Okay? All. So if God is omnipotent and has all the power, guess how much the little g gods have? Zero. Okay? See how nice that is? And guess how much power you and I have? That much. Zero. You understand that the omnipotence of God is so critical. Because if God has all power, hey, listen to me. This is who God is. He has all power. Remember that little story about Job? And Satan coming before God? God said, Hast thou considered my servant Job, right? And Satan complained and said, Well, I can't do anything because you won't let me touch him. That's in the Hebrew, okay? You get the translation there. He said, You have this hedge about him, and that's why he loves you, and that's why he's righteous, and that's why he serves you. And God says, Okay, go ahead. Wreak havoc on his finances and things like that, and you'll see. So who allowed that to happen? God did. He said, Well, but we talk about Satan and how powerful he is. He is. But he's still limited by the all-powerful one. I know that doesn't make sense to a lot of people, because then the next question out of people's mouths is, well, why does God allow that? I'm not here to answer that question tonight. That question can't be answered. But I do want to remind us that God is all powerful. All powerful. He's the omnipotent one. He's the one that is the Almighty. He's the one that has unlimited power. He is all powerful. And here are some of the ways that we know God is all powerful. Here are some of the things that we need to think about. First of all, God is all powerful through His Word.
Through His Word. Folks, this book that you and I get a chance to hold in our hands is an all-powerful book. All-powerful.
One of the things that seems to be tempting to people is this thing about sorcery and witchcraft and magic spells and things. You know, it's in lots of movies and TV shows right now in this day and time. I got a book here that's more powerful than anything that they can come up with. Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with black magic or white magic or purple magic or orange magic or green magic. I don't care what kind of magic it is. It's not more powerful than this book. God has given us His Word. Listen to this. What David says in Psalm 29, verses 1 through 11. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. And in His temple doth every one speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. God's Word, His voice, is all powerful. Jeremiah 23:29 says, Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? God's Word. Hey, all those stony hearts out there. You know what this thing does? We got an extra thump. It's the water heater for the baptistry. Don't worry about it. That was cool, though. Perfect timing. All right. Good job back there. There's nobody back there. It's okay. It's a hammer. It's strong. It's powerful. Right? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We serve an omnipotent God. And as much as He is omnipotent, I've said this many times and I'm going to say it again because it needs to be said, I believe that God and His Word are inseparable. That's why I believe in a perfect Bible. Because I have a perfect God. Can't a perfect God produce a perfect Bible? Absolutely. He can. And he, in a way, He almost needs to. Because He's perfect. And if He's all-powerful, then His book's all-powerful. God is an all-powerful God. You know what's in here? Unlimited power. Unlimited power in this book. And yet, we disregard it so. And we take it for granted. We maybe oftentimes just kind of let it be and rely on other things to get us through life. When we have unlimited power at our grasp, it's right there. Probably not far away. Maybe you're like me and you have a Bible app
on the old smartphone. It's just one click. King James Bible right there. Boom.
Look how fast that was.
I didn't have to go to a shelf. I didn't have to make sure that it, you know, I could get to one, or I had to drive home I can go to Proverbs, I can go to Revelation, I can go anywhere right there. And it'll even read to me if I can't do it myself. Whoa! That's cool. Hey, technology's all right. I found out that smartphones are only as smart as the user that's holding them. Mine's not very smart. God's word is all powerful. It's unlimited. And it's, you know what? It in itself is unlimited. It's only limited by us. We're the ones that limit God's word. We're the ones that limit its power. God is unlimited and we limit him. Think about the things that we do in our lives that limit the word of God. That limit God and his power in our lives. It's us, folks. We serve an unlimited God. He is all powerful. And his greatness and his power, his glory and his victory and his majesty. Because he's above all. In Revelation, many times it talks about the word of God. Speaking of Jesus Christ in Revelation 1:16, it says, "And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." In Revelation 2:16, it says, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." It's powerful, folks. In Revelation 19 and verse 15, it says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth upon the winepresses of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." In verse 21 of the same chapter, it says, "And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Who's this talking about? Jesus. Coming in on a white horse, King of kings and Lord of lords. Remember when he was here on this earth, in Luke chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, it says, "And he came down from Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Even then, we understand that the power of the word of God is something that we really cannot really truly understand, but we've got to try. We've got to rely on it more than we do. Many times, we choose to let our own power make our lives successful. But that's not where it lies. True success lies in allowing God and his word to be the power source of our life. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Remember how powerful the word of God is? Over in Genesis, "And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be a firmament. And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creature. And God said, let us make man in our image. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said. The word of God is all powerful. In Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6, it says, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. We talked about God being the God of judgment last week. And you know, his word is all powerful. And by his word, all things are created, right? And they're here for his glory. They're here for his benefit. And guess what? At the very end, his judgment is what's going to divide the sheep from the goats. The great white throne judgment. People are going to be judged for their works and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. By the word of God. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Guess what God's word is powerful enough to do? It's to take a filthy, rotten, dirty old sinner and justify him before a holy God. It's powerful. Every one of us bound for hell. But because of the word of God, we get to go to heaven. We get to have salvation. Isn't that powerful enough? Aren't you glad for that power in your life? Boy, we ought to understand the power of the word of God. The second thing I want us to look at very quickly. I don't need this. Why is there never enough time? I don't know where. I mean, that's like a maybe even a page and a half of notes. I mean, that's nothing. Oh. You heard through Scripture about the powerful hand of God. Just a few verses. In Exodus 15, verses 6 and 7, it says, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. Remember how recently we talked about Moses being bold enough to ask to see the glory of God, right? And God said, hey, I can't let you do that. You'll die. But what I can do is I can kind of put you in this cleft of the rock here, and I'll cover you with my hand. Folks, the hand of God is something that is evident in the lives, in the history of mankind. We can see the mighty hand of God all over history and how God has moved his hand and he has done things and he has, I'm going to use the right word, I think it's raised up countries and civilizations, and with that same hand he has knocked them down. You understand that the hand of God is an all-powerful thing. There was a country that was known throughout the world to be the mightiest in all the world. Ever heard of a place called Egypt? And the pharaohs, right? God's people were sent there for a purpose. And after a matter of time, Egypt had really grown in its power, grown in its prestige throughout the world, and riches and everything. Basically on the backs of the Hebrews, right? More or less. And there came a time where God sent a guy named Moses in, right? To deliver his people. And through the mighty hand of God, Deuteronomy 5:15, Moses is reminding them. It says this, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm." It was the hand of God, folks, that brought them out of Egypt. It was the hand of God that sustained them through those 40 years in the wilderness. And it was the hand of God that led them into the promised land to claim their inheritance. Can you see the hand of God in your life? How God brought you to this or to that? How he perhaps, maybe at times, was able to lift you up? But then at times, the chastening hand of God had to come into your life. I don't have time to develop this thought completely, but I want you to understand that the hand of God is an all-powerful thing. The Word of God is an all-powerful thing. God lets us understand these two things about Him, about His hand being powerful. First Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And the Word of God, how it's powerful for us in our lives. And that leads me to this final thought. And I know we're over time, but I'll try to hasten. When we talk about God, we talk about His Word, we talk about His hand, it just leads me to the fact and to the point that although the Bible says only at one time that He is the omnipotent God, He is all-powerful, there's unlimited power to God, but the word that the Bible uses more to explain this about a God to us is simply almighty. Almighty. And that's the first word that Webster uses to describe the word omnipotent. Almighty. God is almighty. His word is almighty. His hand is almighty. He is almighty. Moses knew God was almighty. Abraham knew God was almighty. Isaac and Jacob, the Israelites, the disciples, they knew God was almighty. Remember when they were in the boat? What manner of man is this that the wind and seas obey him? Folks, you know what that is? Almighty. Remember the prophecy? Jesus Christ was referenced as the what? Almighty God. You understand that God is almighty. Just go and read Psalm 91. There are 16 verses, and it talks about God being the almighty. Over in Revelation chapter 1, we are introduced to Jesus Christ. And in verse 8, it says simply, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." We could do a mic drop right there. What more needs to be said? This is God we're talking about. God is the Almighty. The Lord God Almighty is our God. He's not just something that we can't experience. He's not just something that we look at from afar off. Folks, we can know Him. We should know Him. We should be able to be so close to Him that this should have been just a pastor, yeah, we already know all this about God and His Word and His hand and His being, all encompassing. He is the Almighty. In Revelation, as those around the throne, these four beasts, these 24 elders, they fall down before the throne, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Folks, that needs to be our attitude about our God. The omnipotent God. And we need to understand that God, His Word, His hand, His being, His very essence is omnipotent. Almighty. Unlimited power. All powerful. That is our God. So if I may just reiterate what David said. He said, "Blessed be Thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all." We serve an omnipotent God.